Is your father living or not living?
Mine passed away in 2001. And he has been gone since then.
So many of you may have fathers that are with you, and enjoy that, youngsters, while you can, because that's an important thing. Enjoy that, older people, if your father's still with you, while you can.
I have strong memories of my father. When I was but a child, an infant, I almost died in the hospital. Too much knowledge or something. I'm not sure what it was. No, that's not it. I almost died in the hospital. And I remember my father, you have these very early memories. You don't know why you have them, but you do have. I remember being carried on his shoulder in the hospital. And I was just an infant then. But I also have other memories of Dad and his scratchy face and putting up near his face and getting scratched, or him scratching me on purpose, and which I've done my kids many, many times. It's a lot of fun. And so I always have these great memories. I have funny memories too. Mom and Dad were in our room in the evening as we said our evening prayers, and he's saying goodnight to us as kids. And Dad was always fooling Mom a lot, and she was against the wall, against the plasterboard, and she had said something to irritate him, and he said, "I'm just gonna hit you," and he punched his fist like that, and it went through this wall board, which wasn't very strong. It was very small, and he put his fist through the wall, and we boys, my brother and I, thought that was just grand, so the next morning at Sunday school, we said that Dad tried to hit Mom and put his hand through the wall. So Mom and Dad had to do a little damage control on that particular one. But do you have any funny stories about your dad? Or any stories at all you'd like to relate? That you would admit? I did my best trying to make a positive sermon for Father's Day. And I didn't really succeed that well because of what our society is like and what our society has done with fathers. I did a search on the internet, I hate Father's Day. Do you know how much information there is for I hate Father's Day? Why is there all that information for I hate Father's Day? Well, because fathers aren't always there for their kids. It's a tragedy. And many churches on Sunday morning, well, we were traveling on Sunday morning, my son and I, and we saw somebody mowing the lawn. We saw people, guys jogging. We crossed over the bridge and saw people in their boats. Men have not supported their family in Christian worship, in dealing with their family and raising their family up in the ways of the Lord. That is why the family is become to be disintegrated over these years. So where are the men? Only, or less than 40% of adults in churches are men. If you go to an inner city church, it's less than that. All my travels with the Army Field Band, I would worship. We were always downtown churches, or downtown hotels, rather. And I would sometimes on Sunday, when we had time, be able to worship. And going to downtown to an inner city church, very, very few men in those churches. And it was very sad. Are men just bored? Why don't they let God change their hearts? Now, there's a civic group doing a very good thing. On Mother's Day, the civic group would go to the local prisons, and they would help the prisoners with Mother's Day cards. And they would help them write the cards and address them. Some of the inmates didn't have the facility to write. And it was a big hit. Year after year, it was a big hit. They went back again the second year and addressed thousands of cards to moms. Well, they thought it was a great idea. So they thought they'd do that for Father's Day. They had very few takers on Father's Day. Why? Because the fathers had become absent in their home. And the reason that many of them were there in the first place was because their father did not give them the time of day did not show them, did not raise them in a way that is a godly, biblical way. So there wasn't a lot of reason for the program for addressing Father's Day cards, and they found that out. They had no idea that that would be the case. It's a scary thought. Fathers tend to lead their children into very bad things. Mothers, not quite so much, but fathers tend to lead their children, and it is biblical. Let's look at 1 Kings. You'll find this printed in your bulletin on the middle of your bulletin. 1 Kings chapter 15, verses 2 through 4. 1 Kings 15, 2 through 4. And he walked in all the sins of his father, which he had done before him. His heart was not loyal to the Lord, his God, and was as was the heart of his father David. He walked in all the sins of the father. And the sins of the father were worshiping other gods. Again, in 2 Kings 15, 8 through 10. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, as his fathers had done. He did not depart from the sins of Jeroboam, the sons of Nebat, who had made Israel sin. And in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 19, a rather opposite view, but still contains the same information. Yet you say, this is chapter 18, verse 19, yet you say, why should the son not bear the guilt of the father? Because the son has done what is lawful and right, and has kept all my statutes and observed them. He shall surely live. The soul who sins shall die. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father bear the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. A child can get out of a sinful and degraded father if he tries very, very hard. It is very difficult. I have one of my best friends in high school, or well, since we were little squirts, had a father that wasn't there. And my parents pretty much raised him. He was over at my house a lot. He came to a saving knowledge of Christ, not from his parents, but from my parents, and raised up a godly family himself because I visited him. Another young lady named Debbie in my hometown also didn't have the parents that really cared for her, but through our ministry of our church and through her own efforts, held up the Lord as being important in her life and came to a saving knowledge of Christ and was baptized in our church. So it is possible to get away from the sins of the father, but it is a difficult thing. It's something that you do not want to saddle your children with as you raise your children. All this is related to the breakdown of the family. It's just like what we're studying in Sunday school. Things are running down. The family is getting worse and worse. Mike Peruka talks about that. I know in the many times I've heard him speak about the family and about our government. All these things are all related to the breakdown of the family. It's lying in ruin in this day and age. You know, there are several radical feminist women's rights group that say the family is the cause of all social woes. I didn't make this up. That's what they say. It's not the solution of all sane people. It doesn't even make good common sense. But they believe the destruction of the family is needed for a non-oppressive society. A non-oppressive society. What does that mean? God is oppressive. God is oppressive. In the Communist Manifesto, Karl Marx, and we didn't name our son, by the way, for Karl Marx, okay? Even though it's spelled all the same. Karl Marx and Engels had a 19th century contention that in order to realize social justice and equality, the traditional family would have to go, and that the women would be liberated only when child care burden was completely delegated to the government. That's scary. That sounds like public education anyway. A lot of us homeschool. But delegated to the government. Those are not my words. You're quite welcome to look it up. Challenge anything I say today anyway. So Christianity is up against a lot more than just fathers who don't do their job. It's against a society. Our belief in Christ is against a society that doesn't hold up the family as the virtuous center of all that we are. And the family is falling apart. All you have to do is go outside and walk around to see that the family is falling apart. Any family that does not put Scripture and Jesus Christ at the center of their family is doomed to failure. Is doomed to failure. When Christ is the center of a family, then the family works right, because that is a biblical injunction that we find in the Scripture. Biblical injunction. It doesn't take a degree in psychology to raise your family. It doesn't take psychiatrists. It doesn't take special books. It takes a belief in Jesus Christ and looking to the guidebook for all that we do. And that guidebook is, of course, the Bible. Let me read you Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Now, back to Father's Day. I haven't totally given up on fathers and Father's Day. In many of the pulpits throughout our country, and, well, it's mainly an American holiday, but many of the pulpits, we hear about the virtues of fathers, how important they are. And they are. They are very important. How they have fulfilled our lives and given us as kids purpose and a drive to achieve and be successful in our lives and achieve the greater things that God has put before us. But not all of us can say that, can we? If I'm hurting someone, I'm sorry, but this is the truth. Not all fathers have been good fathers. That's just the way it is. And for some of us, Father's Day will be fairly comfortable. For some of us, Father's Day will be a fond remembrance. I fondly remember my father. He was there for me. He worked too much. That was that generation. He worked way too much. But he was there for me. And I can recall as he had grandchildren here in Annapolis with my kids, he said, it's great to have the grandkids around because I didn't spend enough time with you kids when you were growing up. And now I have the grandkids to spend time with, and I wish I'd spent time with you. So he said that. I didn't make it up. And it meant a lot to him to be with the grandkids and because he did miss our lives because he was working through it. If we had a great and loving dad, then it is very easy for us to embrace the biblical picture of our Father in heaven. If you have had a father who has been neglecting, abusive, not there, or totally absent, then that picture of your Father in heaven is harder for you to understand. And you may struggle with that idea of a father, because if your idea of a father in heaven is anything like your father on earth, that's a bit skewed, or it can be a bit skewed, and that's too bad. A father needs to be nurturing of his children, supportive of his wife, and yet at the same time provide the spiritual leadership in the home that the Bible accords to the father. It's a rare man, a special man, that has all these values and all these ideals in his life and his family's life. And we salute Christian fathers, fathers who are Christian believers and doers of the word this day. Your family needs you more than ever before. So if you don't have a father, you do have a father. Our father is found in heaven. Our father is the biblical guide to what Jesus had here on earth. Jesus had a earthly father, Joseph. And Joseph had a very great example. He was a carpenter, as we know, and he led his own son, his earthly son, Jesus, into carpentry and raised him up in the ways of the Lord. So there are many instances of God in relationship to Father throughout Scripture. And in the Jewish home, it was a father who had the primary responsibility for training the children and leading them, teaching them in the ways of the Lord. Now, we don't know much about Joseph. We gain just a very small understanding through the Scripture, but we do know that Jesus loved his father, and we do know that he honored his father in all that he did. So the imagery that we have of father in the Scripture is directly related to his earthly father, Joseph, but his heavenly father, God in heaven. So we should gain our understanding of our Father through scriptural means. In Matthew 10, verses 29 through 31, we have one of the best examples of the reminder of the love of our Heavenly Father. He said in Matthew 10, 29 through 31, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny?" Jesus asks. "And not one of them will fall to the ground without your Father's will. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows." Some of us don't have trouble numbering the hairs of our head, I realize. Some of us do. But it is a testimony to the intimate love that God has given us. And God cares for us and is forgiving of us as we fathers forgive our children what they do. As we fathers model the example that Christ has set before us. Some of us may feel we've been dealt a bad hand in life when it comes to fathers. A father who's not there or doesn't care, has been abusive in the past. And then we go to the Scriptures and we see what God our Father has done for us and continues to do for us. He made us his sons and daughters through adoption. I was watching a cute little movie a day or so ago. It was Shirley Temple. All right, nobody watches Shirley Temple anymore. I realize that. But my daughter has this Shirley Temple movie, and I finished it up last night, and it was about it was adoption of all these children. Very cute. But God made us his sons and his daughters through adoption. Galatians chapter 4, verses 5 through 7 says, "And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his sons into your hearts, crying, Abba." Abba means daddy, right? That's what that is. "Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." We have the free will to reject that adoption that God has given us as his sons and daughters. The same free will is the free will that Adam had in the garden. We still have the same free will to reject everything that Christ is. So if we reject the wonderful gift that God of eternal life has given to us and all who believe him, then we have rejected God. None of us are fatherless. I'm not fatherless. I never have been. I have a father that was here on earth, but I also have a father who's in heaven. We're never fatherless, even if your father has not been there for you. You're never fatherless. God has given us all and given him the right to be our father. However, in the process of life, we either choose to reject or accept the Spirit of God through his Son, Jesus Christ. Unlike human beings, God never rejects us. He loves us with that undying love. The only thing that can separate him from us is sin. That's the only thing that can separate you from God is sin. For as many, in Romans 8, 35 through 39, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God. Now, the real excitement is that nothing can separate us from our daddy, Abba. Death won't do it. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, death won't separate you from daddy. Daddy will always be there for you. Your earthly daddy may not. But Abba will always be there for you. Abba will always listen to you. Abba will always forgive you. Always. And Abba will be there when you cross over, waiting for you. That's the Father that we have in heaven. That's the Father that is the figure of all things. He is eternal. Our earthly Father was not. He's not distant. Abba is but a prayer away. Abba is a prayer away. So the most important issues of life, can you say that God is your Father? Have you become a child of God by declaring your personal faith in Jesus Christ? Your answer determines whether all the joys of knowing God as Father now and through eternity will be yours. Your answer determines if at the gate, when you cross over to the other side, Abba will be waiting to put you in his arms. Let's pray. Our Father, Abba, we look to you as our Father. In holiness that you are, we're not holy. And everything that you have come on earth to do as Jesus Christ, we many times reject. Help us to help our own unbelief to come to a saving knowledge of who Abba is, who Jesus Christ is, who died for us on the cross, that we can be adopted as your sons and daughters. Lord, we thank you for our earthly fathers that bore us in with our mother. But we look to you as our Father in heaven for our final hug. As you say to us, well done, good and faithful servant. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.